Hello, guys, and welcome back to your music podcast. It's out. I'm back. Today I'm here with Daniel CV. Hello, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Daniel's here from LA. That's crazy. I don't know. Usually there's people flying over for promo stuff and all that stuff, but you're going to go on your tour very soon.
Yeah, I'm tuned in from LA, and I had a show in Phoenix last night that was incredible. We've only done 3 shows so far on this tour, so it just started, and it's been a perfect start. The show's been unbelievable.
That's so exciting. I mean, it's like a whole new venture. You just released your album, Second Wind, and this tour is kind of the whole, like, people get to see what it's about in a live manner with the colors and the sounds, and you get to see people sing back the songs to you that you've been working on for years, probably. How does that feel? It's like after 3 shows,
I'm like, my gosh.
Very fresh wind.
Yeah, I mean, I like kind of going about life with high hopes and low expectations, and I tried to keep my expectations pretty low. Even just making this album in just the last couple of years, just I've been kind of going into it like, who knows what could happen, but I didn't want to expect anything or hold any bars up of what I wanted from it. And the fans at these shows have really blown me away, especially last night in Phoenix. It was just unbelievable. They knew every word, and you know, they did this fan project where they all plan to hold up these signs together, and they really have no idea how much that means to me. It's pretty incredible, and it makes the music that much more special for me. I feel like being out here, I'm kind of falling in love with the songs I made all over again, hearing them back so loud every night. So that's been fun.
It's a whole different thing hearing sounds that you make in the studio live, especially.
Yeah, gives it new meaning too. You know, I feel like I'm still kind of like learning what my songs can fully mean. And when you see it and hear it every night, and, you know, meet and greet, you talk to fans about the songs and whatnot, it's just such a, it's like as much of an experience for me as it is them. So it's really, it's a gift.
Is there a song that's stood out to you in the last 3 shows where you're like, I didn't expect this to be such an experience live?
Yeah.
Arrangement?
I mean, all of them have felt pretty great. I want to say last night I was pretty shocked at how loud they were for Lose Me Like You Mean It. And You Let Me Down. Those were a bit of more like the ballady, I don't know, just like slower songs. And those usually I don't expect like a screaming, you know, passion for them. Yeah. And last night those two were really loud, so that kind of shocked me.
Well, that's interesting. I really love those two songs, especially I wrote down 2 songs where I was like, this is from the production that I heard. It was like McGee inspired kind of guitar.
Yes, and that's, you know, what McGee,
of course.
Yay. The I love McGee.
There's like, I'm obsessed with them. I've always been obsessed with them. There's something really special about how he makes his music, and like the, I don't know, the whole thing is like amazing. And I feel like I heard a little from a production standpoint, it was really interesting. And now that you're saying that people were screaming, it's interesting because they are songs that are pretty just like paced and not too like, okay, we all know we're gonna go crazy here.
Yeah, no, I love that you said that. I'm a big McGee fan. I'm a big Prince fan. Yeah. I also have kind of gone down the 80s rabbit hole of like the Police and that sort of sound. That was definitely an influence on a lot of these songs. And it was funny. You Let Me Down was one of the first songs I made way back. I want to say like 2 years ago. And I think I even threw up like a video of it on TikTok or something way back that you can find. And at the time, it had more of like an acoustic feel to it. And when this sort of like electric guitar craze came back around, it just felt like it was like meant to be that way from the start. And so I went in with my producer friend, Noah Conrad, and he put some electrics down with me. And it was like immediately like, oh my gosh, this is what it's always supposed to have been. And we kind of carried that inspiration through a few of the other songs then. Mm-hmm. But I love that you said that.
Yeah, I think it was Your Light and then Lose Me Like You Mean It. Those two, I was like,
yes, definitely.
Guitars, those drums.
Yeah.
I can tell you really hands-on with like the production side of it and arrangements and all those things. It's like a very detailed album. That's really impressive. And I saw that you were live, you were doing like, you were using the looper for like,
oh yes, ma'am. Yeah,
making songs live. I've never seen anyone do that. Just like on cue, someone asked you to do Sign of the Times. You did it.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been messing with the. I've been messing with the looper for a while, and I gotta give shouts to Ed Sheeran for kind of coming up with like the original blueprint for it. And,
I saw that. Yeah, that was an
amazing thing. And my goal is kind of like to take that and add on the, I play just like a lot of weird instruments. Like I play the cello and, you know, all the other key instruments like the bass and guitar and keys. And so I like in my head, I always conceptually thought it'd be so sick if I could just like have a different looper at every instrument and just like build out a whole song, almost like produce a song live in a sense. Yeah. And the technology finally like has caught up where we could do it on this tour. And it's been really, really sweet. But the biggest challenge I tried to do this tour that I'm already regretting because it's pretty damn hard is just having a fan choose like any random song from the crowd. Like even if I don't know it, honestly, it's like more challenging for me if I don't know it. And I do like a challenge, but that's been fun. I've been doing that every night and my brain feels like it's going to pop by the end of every song, but it is really fun. So I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah, I was going to say like having to jump exactly when someone says, okay, play. Try to make that song live is such that like you can't just be on like auto stage mode, like you've practiced this 1,000 times, you kind of know what you're doing, you've been in this industry for like years, and then you're on stage and like you said, Ed Sheeran, I always think of like Imogen Heap or yeah. Like Ocean or all these people that are just so like techie on stage, but yeah. But then also like they've practiced that part, but then you're like, okay, I'm just gonna do
it. Yeah. I don't know. I one of the first tours I ever did when I was 15 was with Harry Connick Jr. I was on American Idol, and after I got voted off, he was nice enough to let me go on tour with him and open for him for a while. And I always remember he had this big 10-minute section in his show that he intentionally left like completely unrehearsed. And I remember at a rehearsal one time, he was like showing me his piano scales, and that part of the show came up, and he just looked at me and he was like, "This is where I get to have fun." And I love the idea of having a moment where you kind of like feel those butterflies build up in you and you're like, this is really live. I really have to like compute, you know, the music here. And I love that kind of challenge. So it is for me, like selfishly, a really fun part of the show for me where I really just get to like go completely free form, let my musical freedom run. And yeah, I love it.
But that's kind of, I feel like artists deserve that. There's so much that's just like in the lines of, you know, when this is going to drop, there's a promo for that. Then you're on stage and you know exactly what's happening. And I feel like that's such a beautiful way to think of
it. It's so fun. Yeah.
Like, it's like a child being able to, like your inner child gets to play again.
A thousand percent. Very therapeutic.
What's something on your album where you feel like the arrangement plays like the biggest role? Like where you kind of, it was like a Rubik's Cube and you had to switch back and forth and it only made sense because of the way it was arranged. And it was
The way it was built. You know, actually, Gateway Drug, it's funny because like if you listen to the song, thank you. If you listen to it, to me, it's like, it sounds like the most generic song on the album. And I almost didn't put it on the album for that reason.
Wow,
but what's funny about it is there's like 30 different versions of that song. And like when I first made it, it kind of sounded like a Pumped Up Kicks sort of song. It was like slower and it was like, had like an acoustic guitar, almost even think of like Messy, like Lola Young, like it had like that sort of like feel to it. And then I like was listening to like Kings of Leon and made it like a complete rock song. And then it was like too fast. And so I landed on this sort of like more pop, like it reminds me of like Katy Perry and Maroon 5.
Oh my God, Maroon 5 was the first thing that jumped
in. Yeah, yeah. And at first I was kind of like turned off to it because I was like, it's just too pop for like my liking. And then like, you know, I listened to it all day one day and just like tried to pick apart at it and take pieces out to make it like weirder and less like straight down the middle pop. And anything I took away just like defeated how good it felt in that light of just being that pop song. song. And so I was like, damn it. Like, it's perfect. It's perfect. Yeah. I need to just leave it alone. And then I wanted to take it off the album, and then I couldn't get the song out of my head. So I was like, what am I doing? Like, just put it on the album.
That's so interesting. I've been exactly at this point, or I am exactly at that point. Kind of have to accept that sometimes pop, and it sounds weird because I get where you're coming from. Like, sometimes you have to accept that pop can be really good, to be.
Well, and I think I was asking the question to myself, even like, what do I want to do? What people do I want to sing to? And I think like one of the most magic parts of my shows that I love is like the moment where I know I'm having a good time, and that means they're having a good time. And, you know, I even went to a McGee show at the Palladium in LA, and I think it did click for me where I was like, this is my guilty pleasure, but this isn't my crowd, you know? And I think I do want to be more intentional this time around. And you can hear it on this album of making music that I love, that my fans would also love, the people that have stuck around with me and are here willing to listen. And I think a lot of the songs do that justice. I think Second Wind is actually a great example too, of like kind of me getting to have my fun and get some weird sounds in there, but it's also still like a really catchy, fun song.
Yeah. You're kind of intertwining and mixing up the worlds that you love. But that's awesome in itself, because you're also combining worlds that usually aren't like connected with like audience.
Sure. Totally. That's a goal of mine for sure. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. It's like you have to accept that people love Taylor Swift like all over the world, but then Taylor's never going to be Lana, and Lana's never going to be Taylor.
1,000%.
But probably that's like Taylor probably wishes she would have made like Lana's album.
Totally. Totally. I genuinely have come to a point where I've realized I'm a fan of both. And so I think at the right times, I love the idea of just like trying for both and just kind of like following my gut, you know? And like, I think it depends. It can be song by song, what sound you're going for that day. But I love the idea, at least right now where I'm at in my career, like I do have the freedom to just have the fun of kind of going whatever direction. And I want to keep doing that. And until there's any reason I shouldn't be, which I hope never happens, I'm gonna just keep doing that.
What would be a reason for you to never to just stop?
I could not name one. Genuinely could not give you one.
Makes so much sense. Yeah. Why would you? Yeah. Music is something that never dies. And I feel like if you're a creative person, that's just, unless you have an
immense
writer's block and it's like impossible for you to keep going.
Yeah.
I feel like creativity is just,
especially when you're out here on the road, it's just like unlike anything else. And like genuinely getting to do these shows and just like be in front of a crowd the way it's been, I'm like, I don't know what in the world else I would want to do or be doing. Yeah. It's just so special.
Do you feel like there's a difference in your crowd from the US to the European flair, or is it just who's coming?
I have yet to tour in Europe. So this, in a month from now, it'll be my first time ever headlining in Europe. I did go out and open for Benson out in Europe last year. And that, we share like a pretty similar crowd up until you get into like Midwest America. And then I was shocked. He had like all the gym bros with mustaches pulling up and cowboy hats.
They didn't know if they wanted to be with him or be him.
Yeah, it looked like a clone of like Benson minions in the crowd. I was like, in Europe I feel like we got like a pretty similar fan base, so that was cool to be out there with him. But I am really excited to just see what it's like out there on my own for the first time. That'll be so fun.
That's exciting. I'm gonna pull up, and what I usually do is I analyze the cues. I feel like that's the most fun thing. If you ever, probably as a musician, you love going to concert, probably.
Yeah,
I do know musicians that hate it. I don't know. There's like there's a discrepancy between that. But like analyzing the crowds and like who's queuing earlier and later, it's really interesting.
That's cool.
Because you can kind of tell, like, okay, there's a really basic one, like Sabrina Carpenter. Obviously, like, all the girly girls pull up, and that's just,
I see what you're saying. Yeah, like, seeing what, like, kind of setting of a demo of people comes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious what mine will be. I wonder what the weirdest demo at a show ever has been. Like, just straight, like, grandmas at someone's show, or...
No, there's been... I've played supports that were just, like... I was like, I don't think I'm at the right place. No, it was just recently. It was a very... That's... I'm so into just analyzing the crowd that I was like, maybe I shouldn't have this time. There was a... It was very interesting to see the people that pulled up to that artist.
Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
But what I also wanted to talk about with you was like the, when it comes to your music world, I think as a musician, there's obviously always a lot of inspiration that you kind of derive inspiration from or whatever it might be. But when I listened to your album for the first time, I was like, I feel like I'm in like a 2000s rom-com, but then I'm like back to a really cool, like it was weird because I had like...
bits of worlds, right?
Yeah, it was so interesting. And then I think somewhere I always get like a bio info of the person that I'm interviewing, and it was like I saw Norah Jones, and I was like, oh my god, I love Norah Jones. And I feel like probably someone wrote it for you, and they were like, something with 2000s Norah Jones, and you're like, I don't know what the fuck, there's no connection there.
I mean, basically what the heck happened with this album is I grew up under a rock musically. My dad was a pastor, and I grew up in a place called Portland, Oregon, where it's very like hipster. So I hadn't heard any like mainstream secular music up until just the last few years. I had never heard like anything out there. And maybe 2-3 years ago, I really started diving into just everything out there. You know, I was working on this album, working with writers, and they're asking me, you know, no way you haven't heard Mr. Brightside. And I'm like, never in my life had I heard it. And I mean, that just, the list went on and on. And for whatever reason, I really attached to a lot of 2000s music. I thought just there was so much special stuff in there. And like, I love the melodies of the 2000s. I love like the emotion of the 2000s. I love the production of like MGMT and Bourne's. And I mean, there's just so much in there that's like so incredible that I kind of would say this album felt like a bit of a love letter to the 2000s. It's like all over the board, but a lot of it feels pretty traceable to the 2000s. Maybe a little 80s influence, maybe, but most of it is like derivative of some time in the 2000s.
Yeah, super nostalgic. It was like,
yeah, thanks,
in a lovely way. But you mentioned,
I'm a big fan of the like nostalgic kind of timeless approach to songs. I remember the most recent one I heard that really nailed it was Messy. I'm not gonna be that guy, but I'm gonna be that guy. I heard Messy the day she teased it, like 9 months before like it was even out. She like put a clip up, and I was like, this is gonna be a smash. And I told all my friends, and a lot of them didn't even hear me out. And you know what? I called it. But that to me like was a great example of a song that like nailed this timeless feel. Like it feels like a Fleetwood Mac song or something. Mm-hmm. I love trying to like chase those melodies that just feel like they somehow were written like hundreds of years ago, but also feel brand new. They're the best.
Yeah, it's like, it's so hard to achieve that though, because it's such a like, it's a perfect mix of so many elements. And what was something that you had to like, a song that you had to be super patient with, kind of had to grower?
You know, the older you get was interesting, because writing the actual song on a piano took no more than 10 minutes. It just like flew out of, I was in a room. It was me, my writer friend Michael Pollock, our friend Kiddo, and we wrote that song in literally like 10 minutes. Like it was just like this rant sort of that like of life that came out of me. And I, you know, I was just going on about how at the time, how much getting older can suck, you know. And then we tried to shed some optimism on the dark thoughts and balanced it out with all the positive thoughts going on. And literally within 10 minutes, we had like this kind of like crazy poem that we were like singing to. It didn't even feel like a song necessarily. The tough part was like finishing the song. Then the production had to like match how good it felt just on a piano. Yeah. There were so many versions of that song as well. Like it started way slower. It was like 20 beats per minute slower, which is like way slower.
Wow.
And then did like a way faster version. I remember I was listening to like Another Love, Tom Odell, and I was like, this is emotional, it needs to be like this. And it just didn't match up to the song, and we finally nailed it with the with the last version. At least I feel like we did. But yeah, that one was a tough one to land for sure.
Yeah, the having to match up to the original energy, like the momentum that you were like, okay, we got this, and then you have to like do it the song justice. It's
yeah.
the most difficult.
Yeah. Well, and if I were to give like advice to other writers, I feel like there's a lot of writers out there that like have that same amount of intuition, and they buy into the like the day one demo is the most magic. And don't get me wrong, sometimes that can be right, but I would say like 9 times out of 10 I actually would disagree. And like if your gut is telling you this could use something else and you feel that, like I know so many writers write a great song that they feel great about, but they still feel like something else could be there, I would say always chase that. Like make 100 different versions of the song, and if none of them feel as good, go back to the one that felt great, but you might surprise yourself, you know, with what you end up on the 90th try, you know. But I love the idea of just trying to put anything and everything you possibly can into your song until it feels like fully what it's supposed to be. Like I love the idea of like a song kind of coming into its full light, you know, the same way as people can.
It sounds like you're very like free spirited with the way you make your music, because I know that there's also artists that are really like in their heads when they make music, and it kind of stops them from like making 90 versions because you're so attached to that one version. And it's just like it's a mindset thing. And do you feel like you had to grow into that place of being like, I'm going to let my music breathe, and it's okay if this takes
totally
2 weeks and if there's going to be 60 versions?
Yeah, I think I got really lucky to have like an amazing friend as a writer on this album, Michael Pollack. And he really was like my big brother in kind of like watering that seed for me of kind of just like trusting my gut, you know, doing what I feel like I have to do with my songs. And it was really cool to kind of see the other side of that prove to work, because a lot of these songs feel like exactly what they're supposed to be now. And I've said this before, this is like the first time I've really released music and been 100% proud on the music and kind of put it out, and when everything that's there is supposed to be there and it feels the way that I wanted it to. This happens all the time though. In the past, I would drop a song and right after I put it out, you're like, oh my God, the bass there is uneven on the second pre-chorus, and you know, you just start picking it apart. And I do think like that's where I just say it's worth like taking the extra beat before you put something you care so much about out. Like just take one extra beat to make sure it's everything you want it to be, and don't let someone tell you that it is everything if you don't think it is, you know. If they're like, I'm telling you, this is how songs are produced, it's complete, and you're like, but I'm hearing a saxophone solo in that bridge. Like, put the damn saxophone on.
Put the damn saxophone in there.
Like, that's where the good stuff comes out. That's where good art really starts. You know what I mean? I mean, it's cliche, but that's really how it happens.
Do you feel like you've changed the way you have your room filled with, like, the amount of people from when you first started in a band? Because that was probably way more people making music at the same time together, from now, like having your own space, being able to decide everything.
Yeah, it feels like a completely different job. The process is so different, both of which are so fun. I mean, making songs with the band looked more like us just completely like being degenerates in a studio for an hour and working with some amazing writers, and we were like half there, half like somewhere completely different. We're like playing ping pong or something. It was very easy and light and fun, and I think that came across in the songs always though too. They were really easy, light, fun. And going into my solo career, I didn't even really intend on it, but a lot of my initial songs were more like the classic like diary entries and you know, just like really personal songs that I was kind of making more as a hobby while I was still in the band, and I didn't really expect to drop them at any point. You know, like my song Can't We Pretend That We're Good, that was just sitting in my laptop for a couple months while I was still in the band, and I didn't expect to drop it. But you know, those songs are just way more personal and way weirder and way more like individually unique, which I kind of initially going into my career was pretty threatened by and like scared of, just the idea of something being that individually unique wouldn't
resonate.
Yeah, how ironic that, you know, it almost feels like it's more personal than it's ever been, you know. So that's actually been amazing now on the flip side.
It's so interesting to like have all these different kind of viewpoints from different artists over the years, because it's funny, there's like a pattern that's been reoccurring in every single kind of evolvement of the artist, which is like artists that are like fully themselves. Like, I'm not saying you weren't yourself in the beginning, but there's something that changed. And then there's, I don't know, you could take Amy Winehouse. She was just, that was it. Like, there was no room to kind of be like, be yourself, whatever. But usually in like this more modern world, I've had this with my school and like friends that make music and all this. It's always like the record that you are the most yourself and purely just like intuitionally doing whatever you feel like you want to do. And even if it's weird, fuck it. Like that's what resonates the most with.
Oh, it makes me so happy. Like, honestly, like the music business is never going to be completely fair. But what you just said, that's a dream come true, honestly, for artists to like, sure, it's still like outrageously tough to connect and make it. But the fact that the time you most likely will connect is when you are finding your true authentic sound and self. That is music to my ears. It's like, that's what I've dreamed of for so long. And that was a big shift. That wasn't when I started in this business, that was not the case. I was in the top 40 radio world, and it was great for that time. But again, it was like everyone was chasing tail and kind of chasing the sound that's already playing at number one on radio. And that was the only, I mean, if you wanted to do music for a living at a scale where you could really be self-sufficient and make it, if you wanted to make it, you had to do that. There really wasn't a world where you could kind of give it an indie twist or throw some productional flair in there and it work. It just didn't, it didn't exist. And so it does excite the hell out of me that you can do that now. That's so fun to me.
It really is. It's such a, there's the next interview. Okay. we're going to
wrap. We've been talking 30 minutes. Wow.
I know. You're a great interviewer. Oh, thank you so much. It doesn't feel like it. It's usually, it's a little bit more like difficult for me over like a screen because, there's body language and so many things.
Totally.
But I love this conversation. To wrap it up, I know exactly what you mean. There's so much more space for this now, especially but also the society needed like permission from really big artists that did that kind of like twist where they're like, you know what, I'm going to do whatever I want now. And then it kind of domino affected into everyone else. I don't know, the Ethel Canes of the world or whatever. Like, there's.
She just announced a new album. Yeah.
I died. It's going to be so good. I'm so excited.
It's going to be so good.
But people like that they're getting the space. And I feel like sometimes it gives maybe other artists and maybe you yourself and me like the permission or like the confidence to be able to say like, you know what, I'm
1000%. Like, God bless Billie Eilish. God bless Harry Styles. I mean, they on the mainstream front, those two are just king and queen in my head. Yeah. They are unbelievably awesome and brave because when they did it, nobody was doing it.
Yeah,
exactly. I remember being at radio stations when Sign of the Times was being worked at radio and a lot of the radio people being like, yeah, this is going nowhere. Like, no one understood how good it was.
That's so interesting.
It's just like, awesome.
Seriously, doing like a bad guy song for it to be like in the radio, like no one would have ever thought that it would be like a hit. But that's exactly the moments that I love because that's literally changing things for other artists.
That's the best.
Well, amazing. Thank you so much for taking your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Have fun on tour. Also, have fun experimenting some more. We're excited to, see everything. And
thank you so much. Take care. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye.